there. This is KJZZ's Sun Up. It is your daily news update from here in Phoenix on our state and region. I'm Phil Latzman, your host for this podcast adventure, a daily digest of the news events here in Arizona, as reported by our amazing KJZZ news team. Welcome to Wednesday. It is the 18th day of March. We've made it to the top of the hump, rolling towards the weekend. Let's check the news. A record-shattering heat wave is going to bring triple-digit temperatures to the valley over the next several days. Some Phoenix tourist attractions are adjusting schedules in response, and several popular Phoenix hiking trails are going to close. Catherine Davis-Young has more.
Certain trails on Camelback Mountain, Piestewa Peak, and South Mountain will close from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday through Sunday in response to the extreme heat warning. These types of warnings typically happen in July or August. This week is the first time the National Weather Service has issued a warning in March in Phoenix, says meteorologist Sean Benedict.
For March, it's highly unusual, and we're not quite acclimated yet.
The Phoenix Fire Department has already responded to heat-related emergency calls on trails this week. The Desert Botanical Garden is also encouraging visitors to hike its trails in the early morning or late evening. The garden is temporarily extending its hours. The Cactus League is also changing times for several spring training games this week. Catherine Davis-Young, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
And it is that time of the year when visitors from cooler climates come to the valley for vacation. Usually our temperatures are moderate to mid to upper 70s, around 80 for this time of the year. But for the next week, we're going to be breaking records with temperatures expected to hit triple digits. Dr. Mike Clevin is a primary care physician with Optum Arizona in the West Valley.
So if you're coming in from out of town, again, you may be used to spending more time in the sun without any problem. But when you get here, the intensity of our sun can make you burn much faster. And often, by the time you see redness showing up, a lot of the damage has already been done.
The dry climate could also make it harder to stay hydrated, he says, so it's important to prehydrate if you're planning to be outside for any extended period of time. And that heat wave is also leading to decisions to move spring training times at individual stadiums. Eight cities and one tribe own the 10 ballparks that serve as Cactus League homes. Executive Director Bridget Binsbacher says the facilities share a best practices forum that was built during the pandemic.
We've worked really hard over the years to create this line of communication and foster the relationships among our member facilities and our facility operators.
At least 11 start times have been changed in anticipation of the triple-digit temperatures, which are due to start today. In other news, Maricopa County Recorder Justin Heap is preparing to declare hundreds of voters no longer eligible to cast ballots after a federal database flagged them as non-citizens. But questions remain about the accuracy of the federal tool and whether Heap is following the legal process to stop those people from voting. From the Politics Desk, Wayne Schutzke reports.
The recorder's office says it used the Department of Homeland Security's SAVE database to identify over 100 non-citizens who were registered to vote in Maricopa County. That prompted concerns from Secretary of State Adrian Fontes, who pointed to reporting that the federal tool is prone to errors. Fontes asked Heap to ensure he followed state laws requiring officials to give a person time to provide proof they are a citizen if they are flagged by the system. In a letter to Fontes, Heap says he is following state law and that impacted voters will be contacted with information they need to provide that proof. He says they will be recategorized as not eligible unless they provide it by the next election. But some election experts say the process outlined in Heap's letter doesn't comply with state law. Wayne Schutzke, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
The state of Arizona has filed misdemeanor charges against the online company Kalshi, alleging it operated an illegal gambling business. Greg Hawney has more on that.
The new legal filing in Maricopa County Superior Court lists 16 counts of betting and wagering and 4 counts of election wagering. In a press release, Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays said while the company brands itself as a prediction market, it is breaking the state's gambling and election wagering laws. The new charges come days after Kalshi filed a lawsuit against the Arizona Department of Gaming in federal court, saying states cannot regulate its predictions market. A spokesperson for Mays says an arraignment hearing is the next step. Greg Hawney, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Arizona voters may be asked in November whether to amend the state constitution to allow residents to refuse medical mandates. James Hodge directs the Center for Public Health Law and Policy at ASU. He told KJZZ's The Show personal autonomy in medical decisions is important, but he said the proposal would chip away at vaccine and disease testing rules for hospitals, schools, and long-term care facilities.
All of those particular requirements could fall away. and that could result in significant harms to patients and to personnel within hospitals and other settings. I mean, the damage of this could be quite profound.
The proposal recently cleared the state house. If the Senate okays it, the measure would appear on Arizona ballots this year. The Maricopa County's Board of Supervisors has chosen Cody Rime to fill a vacancy in the Arizona House of Representatives. Rime will finish former Representative Joseph Chaplick's term in Legislative District 3 after Chaplick resigned to focus on his congressional campaign. Rime was an advocate for the Rio Verde Foothills community over the past several years as hundreds of residents there lost access to reliable water source. And he says he wants to focus on water issues at the legislature as Arizona faces cuts to its Colorado River supply.
It's imperative that we solve these issues, and it starts now. We're in session now, and there's ability to bring resolve to what's about to happen.
The board chose Rime over political consultant George Califf and former lawmaker Michelle Ugenti-Rita. Organizers of an annual Tucson event named after labor rights activist Cesar Chavez say it will move forward this weekend under a new title. As Angela Gervasi reports, it comes as the nation's largest farm workers union addresses disturbing new allegations against the late labor icon.
Each year in Tucson, organizers hold a march and rally to honor labor rights while celebrating the legacies of organizers Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta. But this week, allegations surfaced that Chavez had abused young women and minors. Tucson organizers say they're rebranding the local event as the Comunidad y Labor Unity Fair. The usual march has been canceled, but the annual rally is still set for Saturday at Rudy Garcia Park. Eva Cariodong co-chairs the coalition for the fair.
It's about the people, and it's about the struggles, not about one single man. We can't let that destroy what we have built.
Cariodong said the event will offer resources for immigrant and labor rights, like free Know Your Rights cards and conversations about wage theft.
That's Angela Gervasi reporting from Tucson. Well, the mass deportation campaign has been a cornerstone of President Trump's second term, but the administration's data-sharing practices are making it difficult to know exactly what that looks like. From the Frontera's desk in Tucson, Elisa Resnick has more.
The Trump administration has touted immigration enforcement goals like deporting a million people a year and arresting the worst of the worst criminals. But how that's bearing out on the ground isn't clear, according to the AP, because data releases under this administration are less reliable than in previous presidencies. Kathleen Bush Joseph is with the Migration Policy Institute.
When people are saying, oh, how does this compare to the Obama administration? Since Obama was considered the deporter in chief, the fact of the matter is that to a certain extent, we actually don't know.
Bush Joseph says researchers are increasingly relying on Freedom of Information Act requests and non-government efforts to compile data. Elisa Resnick, KJZZ News, Tucson.
Well, North America's only native ferret is on the brink of a comeback after decades of being endangered. Amelia Monroe has more on that.
Earlier this month, Arizona became one of the latest states to release a group of black-footed ferrets back into the wild. Game and Fish personnel released 19 ferrets at three locations throughout northern Arizona. The effort is part of a multi-agency captive breeding and reintroduction program that aims to bolster the wild population. In 1986, there were only 18 black-footed ferrets remaining, but since the program was instated, the population has grown to over 300. Released ferrets will be monitored by biologists through ongoing research and trapping efforts. Amelia Monroe, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In sports, Suns lose again. On their long road trip, they were beaten by the Timberwolves 116-104 last night in Minnesota. Julius Randle had 32 to lead the T-Wolves, who were playing without their star Anthony Edwards. Devin Booker scored 34, despite shooting 1 of 7 from three-point range for Phoenix, a third straight loss on their six-game trip, which wraps tomorrow in San Antonio. Baseball: Diamondbacks play the Cubs this afternoon at Salt River Fields, one of seven exhibitions around the Valley today. And again, game times starting tomorrow will be changed, many of them, if not all of them, to evening through Saturday with the heat we've got coming. And be careful out there. That does it for this Wednesday edition of KJZZ's Sun Up, Arizona's morning news podcast. It's March the 18th. I'm Phil Latzman. Thanks for listening. Stay hydrated and shaded. And we'll do it again tomorrow. Talk to you then.